Hello, I'm Joanna Lumley. I'm from London, and it's absolutely fabulous to be here travelling with Rick Steves. I'd love to boast to my friends that I spoke to Rick. We're all sitting with bibs around our necks and our eyes glittering. And I'm from Patsy. I think, Rick, you're fantastic. Cheers, sweetie.
Just because 52 million people came to visit last year, there's no reason for you to be overwhelmed by New York City. To help you work the city like a native, Pauline Frommer joins us now to tell us about the must-see highlights of her hometown. She's just authored a new series of easy guides, and the Frommers.com website has been recently updated with destination guides and family travel tips. Pauline, thanks for being our guide to New York City.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you.
There's a lot of books out on New York City, and you've put a lot of energy into your new book on New York City. How is Frommer's Easy Guide to New York City anything different from what's already out there?
We wanted to create not only this book, but the whole Easy Guide series is about, A, what's authentic. We know that we have to compete with the web, and the web is a treasure trove of information, but it's not curated information. So in this book and in the others in our series, we try and tell you about what are the experiences, what are the restaurants, the hotels that you'll only find in New York that will tell you something about the zeitgeist of the place. So we're all about authentic. We're all about giving you the best values in every price range. And that's hard to do in New York, so I had to do a lot of digging because New York's expensive.
Well, let's talk about an experience. What's an authentic experience in New York that you wouldn't find elsewhere that would be a big part of doing the city successfully in your estimate?
Oh, well, there are the classic experiences, of course. New York had one of the very first skyscrapers in the world. Actually, the Empire State Building wasn't one of the first, but it was one of the most impressive. And going up there and seeing the city laid below you, this pulsating mass of people all on these grid-like streets, I think is an essential experience. But there's also oddball experiences that you can have in New York City that you won't have anywhere else. For example, Brighton Beach in Brooklyn has the largest Russian community outside of Russia itself. And you go to these nightclubs there, and there are women dancing covered with feathers, and there are people telling jokes in Russian, and you're downing bottles of vodka. And suddenly it's like you're in Moscow, but you're just in Brooklyn.
So what's the name of this place?
Well, there's many of them, but my favorite is called Tatiana.
But what is the district?
Brighton Beach, Brooklyn. It's a really fascinating place to walk. You walk down these streets and all of the awnings have Cyrillic lettering and they're selling nesting dolls and pictures of Stalin on T-shirts and all kinds of tea cozies and lots of the types of fish and dill-laden foods that the Russians love.
So is this something new? Or has Brighton Beach always been a Russian hangout, or is this something that's just happened in the last decade or so?
Oh, not the last decade. I would say it's been at least 25 or 30 years.
Okay.
I mean, you think of Woody Allen's play and movie Brighton Beach Memoirs. This used to be a more of a Jewish neighborhood, and then it became more of a recent Russian immigrant neighborhood about 25 years ago.
So your book, The Easy Guide series, is about authentic. But when you go to a great city like New York, if it's your first time, you got to do the obvious stuff, too. What are three things, even if they're clichetic, that the first-time visitor really should do when they go to New York City?
Well, the most popular site in New York City now is also the most sobering, and I think everybody should see it. That's the 9/11 Memorial. In 2014, the museum will open, but just the memorial itself is very, very moving. I think the architects did a wonderful job. They created these huge pools in the footsteps of where the towers were, and kind of their emptiness reflects the emptiness we all feel about that horrific event. So the 9/11 Memorial is one. The Metropolitan Museum is number two, I would say. I think it's the greatest museum in this hemisphere. It's certainly the largest, and it has such a treasure trove of things to see and do, from Egyptian temples to paintings by the great masters to complete rooms taken from homes by Frank Lloyd Wright. And the best way to do the Metropolitan Museum is on a Friday or Saturday night, because they stay open till 9 p.m. And most tourists don't know that. That's when the locals go.
Ah.
And you go up to the roof garden, you have a glass of wine, you watch the sun set on Central Park, and then you go downstairs and you look at the art and you're in the galleries all alone.
Now, that's
it's
the
magic.
That's the mark of a good guidebook writer, to not just list a great site, but to explain what's the best time to experience and how to experience it.
Oh, well, thank you, Rick. That's an honor
that's
coming
great.
From you. So that's number one. Number two, and number three, I would say, would be the combination of the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. You really see our immigrant past here in New York City, and it's a very moving thing to see. Unfortunately, Ellis Island, when I was writing the book, was closed because of damage from Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
But it's open by now.
If you want to get a tip, we're talking about anybody can go to the Statue of Liberty. What's a tip on enjoying and understanding the Statue of Liberty?
Oh, well, you got to get advance reservations so you can go all the way up to the crown. Okay. It was closed for a while after 9/11, but they've reopened it. And it's just so much fun to go up this spiral staircase and see the inside skeleton of the lady, which was created by Gustav Eiffel of the Eiffel Tower fame. And it's really, it's a beautiful statue, but it's also a marvel of engineering.
So there's an erector set kind of skeleton behind the plates, the metal plates on the outside, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to take time months in advance. Get your advance reservation because they do sell out. You want to be one of the few people that day that gets to go all the way up to the crown.
Now, that is the mark of that distinguishes the on-the-ball travelers from the rest of them is those who recognize long before their visit to a great and popular city what you should make reservations for. So if you've got a trip to New York City coming out in 6 weeks, what should you be making reservations for at this time?
You should be making reservations at 7 hotels. And I say that because New York City is the most expensive city in this hemisphere. And yet the hoteliers all play chicken with one another with these hotel prices. And often they will let them drop as it gets closer to the date. And because you don't have to pay for your hotel room until 24 hours in advance, sometimes by making multiple reservations and looking at the prices, you can get a better price. There are many ways to get good prices. Unfortunately, New York City hotels are ridiculously expensive. That was the heartbreaking part of researching this book.
Now, that is interesting. So you can make several reservations and you're holding the room, but you have a disincentive of actually paying in advance because you want to wait until you see how they're going to put things on the push list.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can actually get away with that. You'll save hundreds of dollars that way.
You can, because the hotels know that September, October are high season. So are many of the months in the spring. Low season is early December, January, February. Mm-hmm. But if you're going in the high season months, they are going to try and charge as much as they can from you. And you cannot think that because
their hopes may be dashed.
Their hopes are not dashed because, unfortunately, 52 million people came to New York City last year, which means that the hotel rate here was 90% occupancy most of the time. So the hotels can get away with charging these outrageous prices because if you don't pay them, often you don't have any place to sleep.
Right.
And about 2 years ago, they made it illegal to rent apartments in New York.
That's
so there aren't as many alternative accommodations as there used to
be. So that Airbnb has had a tough time in New York City, I think.
Well, a guy got sued recently. You're actually allowed to rent a room in someone's apartment if that person is there, so a private B&B.
Mm-hmm.
But renting the whole apartment is illegal. Not that many people are getting caught, but I don't know. I wouldn't want to risk it.
Okay, so make reservations in a bunch of hotels and then actually firm it up and pay for it just when you think the prices is low. Make a reservation for the Statue of Liberty so you can go to the top. I would imagine you'd want to book your theater tickets. Are there ways to save money? Everybody wants to go to the theater when they're going to New York. How do you sort through the options and get an affordable ticket?
Well, there's a very good site. There's a couple of them, but the one I like best is called Broadway Box. And what it does is it lists discount codes. The truth is there are maybe 6 shows a year that don't discount.
Mm-hmm.
Every other show in town has to discount at some point, usually on Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, earlier in the week. You're more likely to get a discount.
Okay.
But you can get discounts of up to 50% by going to Broadway Box or Playbill.com or Theater Mania and using the code and getting that discount.
So you'll save a lot of money if you got a 4 or 5 night trip to New York City by doing your theater going outside of the weekend.
Yeah, if you can. And you want to see the right thing. I was an actor in my early 20s, so I know a lot about the theater, and I know about how actors are put into shows. And when a Broadway musical has been running for 3 years, 4 years, it gets really stale.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the actors who take over never get to rehearse with the director. They're basically told, do exactly what the guy before you did.
Oh, my. I didn't realize that. So that is stale and tired.
Yeah, that leads to kind of clunky performances. Plus, the chorus, who are thrilled to have a job, any New York actor is thrilled to have a job, they stay with the show as long as it runs. And that gets pretty boring after a year or two. And so they become a little zombie-like. So I would say, go for a newer show. You're usually going to get a better experience.
Good tips on the theater. Pauline Frommer's our guest on Travel with Rick Steves is our personal guide to visiting New York City. You'll find more of her recommendations in the destination guides at frommers.com. Pauline, you're going to do the theater. Let's say you got a couple more nights. What's an alternative nightlife option? Something a little more off the wall.
Oh, there's so many things you can do. You could go to a poetry slam. You could go to hear somebody very famous speak. You have to realize that New York City is kind of the opinion maker's capital of the U.S. This is where the news media is. This is where the United Nations is. And so we get extraordinary people coming to give speeches at venues all over the city. And it can be just a really exciting thing to do on a night in New York City.
What's a good source of information to find out what's happening tonight?
New York Magazine or The New Yorker both list these things, as do Time Out Magazine, and they're all online. So I would say those are probably the best sources. The 92nd Street Y often has great speakers, so if you go to their website.
What a diverse world it is in New York City. And the Poetry Slam, my daughter's taken me to a Poetry Slam evening in Washington, D.C. and in Chicago, and both times, it was just really, really entertaining. So that's a good option in New York City.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's jazz, there's comedy, there's ballet. I mean, this is where the best artists, I'm going to sound like a total New York snob, but that's us. That's us New Yorkers. We think we've got it best here. And people who really are very, very serious about the arts come here. So any evening spent looking at the arts is going to be extraordinary, or just going out for a fabulous meal. We have the most creative, crazy chefs here. I went to a place called Aska in Brooklyn, which is a Nordic cuisine place. Stockholm now has more Michelin stars than any other city in Europe, and Nordic cuisine is the cutting edge, and they put plates in front of you, and they say to you, pig's blood meatball. And then they kind of look at you again as if it's a dare. You're going to eat that. And you cut into it, and it's absolutely delicious. And then they put a dehydrated scallop in front of you, covered with pine nuts or actually pine needles. Really wacky, creative cuisine, but delicious.
New York native Pauline Frommer is showing us around the highlights of her city right now on Travel with Rick Steves. You can find her destination tips online at frommers.com. That's FROMMERS.com. Pauline, we've got an email that's come into us at radio@ricksteves.com from a listener named John in Jersey City. John asks for your favorite hidden gem in New York.
Oh, gosh. There's so many of them. I don't know if it's that hidden, but I find the Tenement Museum very, very moving to visit. It's a actual tenement that literally hundreds of immigrants had as their first home when they came into the New World. You tour it and you learn the stories of these people. The first time I saw it, I'm a native New Yorker. I was born in New York. I've lived here my whole life, and mostly in small apartments because that's what we do in New York City. And I was there with a bunch of tourists, and they were looking around going, oh, my goodness, can you believe how small this is? And I was thinking, wow, this is bigger than my apartment. But, of course, I wasn't sharing it with 12 other people, as the immigrants would have been doing at that time. But the Tenement Museum, to me, is one of the don't-miss sites that too many people don't go to.
Our email address is radio@ricksteves.com, and Patricia in Coral Springs, Florida, emailed us. And she writes, my teenage daughter and I just completed our second trip to New York City. In addition to Broadway, can you suggest options for experiencing the performing arts in New York City? She's a dancer and is looking for an affordable experience for her next trip. Pauline, any thoughts on performing arts?
Yeah, if she's a dancer, she should go to the Broadway Dance Center, which is a place where they teach dancers. Everybody who wants to be in the chorus line on Broadway goes there for classes, and anybody could sign up for just one, and she could test herself against other dancers. It costs maybe $25 for a class. And that would be an amazing way for her to spend an afternoon. She'll just have to pack her leotard. Or she goes to the ballet. They have discounts for young people and seniors, and even the cheap seats are not too expensive.
All right. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Pauline Frommer, who's got a new guidebook out, Frommer's Easy Guide to New York City. And the great thing about this is that Pauline's born and raised in New York City. Pauline, as a New Yorker yourself, how did that contribute to making this book unique?
I guess I know what the stereotypes are about New York, and I wanted to overturn them in this book. I think we're the friendliest city in the United States. I think that we're a city that actually has time to stop and talk to people, and I wanted to make sure that my readers understood that and understood that if they sit at the bar at a restaurant or if they ask for directions on the street, they'll meet people. To me, meeting people is really the essence of travel, and you can do it really well in New York City.
That is so fundamental to travel, and it's good to hear from a New Yorker, and you sound fairly friendly, that you guys are willing to sit and talk. Let's finish it off with just a thought of where would you follow your nose, and how would you meet the people who were in that neighborhood?
If I were going just out to explore, I would take the International Express, which is the number 7 train, out to Queens, because it hits all kinds of different ethnic communities, and you could see the whole world in an afternoon. Mm. And it's wonderful to speak to new immigrants from India and from Colombia and from Ecuador and from Russia or the Czech Republic. You meet people from all over the world in New York, and that's one of the things that makes New York so great.
I'm with you there. That's one thing. Every time I go to New York, it occurs to me the world comes to New York, and now so have I, and let's connect. Pauline Frommer, say hello and give to your dad and give him my best wishes. He's my inspiration in so many ways, and good luck with all your new guidebooks in the Easy Guide series from Frommer's.
Thank you.
Sing to me one song for joy and one for redemption. And whatever's in between that I call mine, with the street lamp light to illuminate the gray, and the bells of New York City calling me to stay.
There are many customs to welcome in the new year, European style. We'll have fun exploring a few of them next on Travel with Rick Steves.